Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Saturday, the 29th of August. My name's Nick in Melbourne, starting with some ABS data on business investments. It was released on Thursday here in Australia, and it's not looking particularly positive, which I guess you would expect, but some signals are a bit disturbing. So compared with just 3 months ago, this survey was taken about the 12th of August. So most of the Melbourne restrictions were either, you know, already planned or implemented by that point. 23% of businesses had decreased or cancelled their actual planned CapEx. So that's versus 3 months earlier, whilst another 37% had changed to no actual or planned CapEx. Now, in addition to this, a third of businesses are expecting to struggle to meet financial commitments over the next 3 months, and small businesses are twice as likely as large businesses to be in severe financial strife, 35% versus 18%. Huge numbers there. And then on top of this, we've got 36% of businesses said government support measures were influencing their investment decisions. So, you know, whenever that happens, that means, you know, the market is not efficiently allocating capital, and that cannot be good for growth going forward. And uncertainty about future economic conditions was impacting investment decisions of 59% of businesses. So certainly some worrying signs there. Economists generally say that CapEx is one of the sort of, it's a later phase, business CapEx is a later phase sort of reaction to pick up in the economy. So it's something you'll see after retail spending picks up and everything reopens. But it's definitely not looking good, particularly when you look at, you know, the banks that are lending to these businesses and, you know, the prospects of growth going forward with low CapEx from already low levels and, you know, where it is being applied, it's in order to get government stimulus. Okay, now we've largely finished the quarterly reporting season. It's probably pertinent to touch on dividends. When we're going into this period, there was a lot of concern that, oh, dividends are going to be massively slashed. The prospect of income funds that invest in these sorts of stocks are going to be, you know, ruined. There's going to be a whole new sort of world of low dividends going forward many years ahead. Certainly here in Australia, that just has not happened. They have dropped a lot, but, you know, not a lot in the, considering we've had one of the worst economic shocks in many decades in this last year. So dividend total dollar value is about 21.5 announced in this quarter, which is down about a third on equivalent terms last quarter, same quarter last year. Now, what's been driving the cuts? Obviously, we've had companies such as Qantas and casinos and those sorts of businesses that were heavily impacted by the pandemic had to cut. But the big dividend payers are the big banks, and we've had most of them cut, particularly the ones that have held on to their life insurance arms and have, you know, more pressing capital adequacy requirements and those sorts of things. They haven't been able to pay out as much. It's interesting that there are actually some areas where earnings or dividends have been, you know, increased, and particularly in iron ore as a result of the surging iron ore price. And another positive thing to look at is the forecast for future dividends for a lot of businesses on average is actually slightly higher after this reporting season. Another interesting thing is that the payout ratios, i.e. the companies are paying out more of their earnings in dividends, which means, you know, that they're basically trying to protect their dividends. So that's an interesting sign. I would probably suspect it's partly due to the fact that, you know, so much of the shareholder sort of ownership here in Australia is through superannuation funds, and they would probably be pressing for these sorts of dividends to be maintained to keep their, you know, their cash flows and their liability matching in place. Okay, a quick update on analyst price targets for Afterpay. Yes, the stock that is up 1,000% since the end of March, closed at about $88 yesterday. It has a huge range of analyst price targets. So there's the Perma Bears, the Afterpay haters, dare I say, UBS. They've actually increased their price target from $27 to $28.25. Yes, a whole $60 short of where it is actually at now. Now, in their report, they mentioned there were no major surprises in Afterpay's result, given key line items have been pre-guided. Our view on fundamental valuation remains unchanged. We think the current share price factors in over $170 billion in underlying sales by 2025. So we maintain our sell rating. At the other extreme, Morgan Stanley has said they think the company shares could rally above $200, so double where they're at now. They do, however, have a price target of $106, noting Afterpay's forthcoming push into Asia. Goldman Sachs is neutral at $71.95, and RBC they've increased theirs from $77 to $83. Moving to the markets now, we've had a bit of a reversal of what was happening this time yesterday, just after Jay Powell made his statement for the Fed in the US. We've seen Treasury, the 10-year yield, start to come off a bit again. You know, they had spiked over inflation fears from his announcement. Now that's come back. That means the US dollar's weakened. The Australian dollar is about 1.3% stronger at 73.5 US cents. And gold's a lot stronger as well. It's up almost 2.2%. And the markets themselves, equities are up a little bit. NASDAQ up about 0.5%, S&P up 20 pips. Now, coming up in Australia on Monday, we have lots of sort of economic indicators being released. We've got an inflation gauge, business inventories, company gross operating profits, housing credit, private sector credit as well. So that is everything. A busy day on Monday. Have a great weekend and see you then.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invested.